Dawn Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Hey, Lauren.
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey!
It's a crosstalk, but I'm here.
Sorry about that.
No worries.
That's all right.
Automotive.
I understand. You'll figure it out. It's all mix minus. We all do this.
Mix minus. We're fixing the mix minus with Lauren Fix.
We're good. We're good.
And you're nationally renowned. Everybody knows you. Award-winning.
CarCoachReports.com.
CarCoachReports.com. Yes. So we love you. We need you. So when you see this morning's numbers, we see the tariff news with regard to China. As you look out this morning on the horizon, Lauren Fix, what do you see?
Oh, you want me to read my crystal ball? It's pretty clear, and it's also pretty accurate. So, yes, I'm happy to do that for you. There's a lot going on, and I think getting an understanding of it is difficult. When you read these legal bills and, you know, what the parliamentarian says, it can be unbelievably confusing, as well as tariffs. So I'll try to break it down for you and have you see in the end how it all works together. There's an interesting plan that President Trump is working on. So what happened yesterday, to sort of tie into your tease for the segment, is it was actually Wednesday. I've been waiting for this vote. It's called a CRA. It's a Congressional Review Act. And the day that Lee Zeldin got into office, they were on it. And they put out at least, well, there's actually like 10 of them, but there are three of the main ones that remove the federal mandate for electric vehicles. It removes the $7,500 tax credit, and it takes away a lot of the restrictions, such as bringing trucks to ports to move items from the port to the warehouses. You make it all electric, it just costs more, and it takes a longer time. And it, basically what it means to you is it costs you more for everything that you want to buy. So all of these were part of this Congressional Review Act, and it passed the House with a bipartisan support, 246 to 164. That's good, because you know there's a lot of people up for election, and they don't want to go back to their constituents and say, yeah, I didn't vote for you to have jobs here. So they obviously want to keep jobs in their states, in their communities, in their areas. And so it passed with a bipartisan support. Excellent. So now it goes to the Senate. And that's where things get a little bit different. And this is what I have a report coming out at 6:15 today on Car Coach Reports on my YouTube channel. It's also on my Substack. It's on Rumble, and they'll be all over social media as well. And one of the things that I think people need to understand is when the Senate gets it, they can't just – it's a simple vote of either you make it or you don't. 50%, 51 votes, or 50 if you get the – you know, need the support of Vice President Vance. So the parliamentarian who makes all the rules and regulations said, you can't undo this. It's a CRA, which is a Congressional Review Act. It needs to be a rule for you to undo it. So yesterday, before they all left town, they voted with bipartisan support to turn it from a CRA to a rule. So that means that we can eliminate it. If they said no and they didn't do that, then we would have to take it apart piece by piece and still giving California the power. And what's important to note, and I'm sorry I'm long-winded here, but I really want people to understand. It is really important, and it's quite deep, and it ties into tariffs, too, and I'll explain that in a second. California, way back in the 70s, put together a California Air Resources Board to get rid of smog. Good thing. Everybody succeeds. It was really bad. Things have changed what comes out of tailpipes. Now, with diesel-powered vehicles, they use something called urea. Yes, it's the same thing as what you flush down the toilet. And it's just similar to that anyhow. And it makes what comes out the tailpipe actually less dangerous than what comes out of a gasoline-powered vehicle. But today's gasoline-powered vehicles are so fuel efficient and so much better for the environment, things have changed a lot. So a lot of that stuff has done its job. But now we've gone to a higher level of saying you want all electric. And the reason they got the power was President Obama gave California Air Resources Board, known as CARB, which I find amusing because that's carburetor in my business.
Clever.
But then, Michael, you know, blows me away. I'm a car junkie, so I'm sorry. They got more power under President Obama. President Trump tried to take it away, but it was at the end of his four-year term. And this is something you have to get on right away. I have no ear of his. Otherwise, if I could sit down and talk to him for 10 minutes or 5 minutes, I could give him a whole bunch of things to undo. But then President Biden came in, and he gave California Air Resources Board even more power. And it was, so now California, one state, calls the shots for the other 49, which is unconstitutional. So never can there be one state that says, hey, everyone's got to have Pepsi, you can't have Coke. Or everyone's got to eat hamburgers, you can't have hot dogs. You can't do that. because each state is essentially its own country. They work together under the United States, where they all work together. So that is a big problem. However, because they were given this power, it's called a carve-out. Of course, more government things like, you know, pork, essentially. And what they're doing is they're now saying that they've got these rules. Now, we want to take that power away. How do we do it? That will take a CRA, Congressional Review Act, and these rules changes. Once it's done, they don't have the power. However, the state of California can still say, our state requires electric cars. So is that going to stay? Well, Governor Newsom is just about done with his term, thank God. And let's hope somebody with a brain gets in there, because that person will instantly say, listen, we got people that live out way out. California is not all cities. It's not all L.A. and San Francisco. There's a lot of rural areas, and there's no charging infrastructure, and it doesn't work. Also, when you go up into the mountains, you lose range on these batteries and no place to charge. Mm-hmm. So it's a huge problem. I will say that I think that it will get undone. I think that if California undoes it, New York State, foolishly where I live, will probably follow along, like Connecticut, Massachusetts, and New Jersey, although we can vote those people out. And that's one thing you got to think about when you go to vote, whenever time that is, whoever you're voting for, whatever side of the party, make sure that you do your research, because you'll find that some of these people will say one thing and do another. And I'm sure you report on that on a daily basis.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Just to localize the story, as far as this, 13 Democrats voted with Republicans for the resolution on the first vote that you mentioned, and mm-hmm. 10 did the same on the second vote. But notably, in our region here, because I'm broadcasting from Philadelphia, Representative Brian Fitzpatrick, who's in Purple Bucks County, he's a Republican. He was the only, mm-hmm. he was and is the only Republican to vote with the Democrats against the measures.
Oh. Showing his true colors, isn't he?
Yeah.
Wow.
Unfortunately, sometimes people need to be replaced, or it's because who funded their election. And that's why you're seeing things like what's going on in the Senate when you see Rand Paul and things like that. And I don't cover politics. I watch it because it affects automotive. But here's an interesting thing. So let me tie in tariffs so it makes sense for everyone. Some people are upset about tariffs. Mm-hmm. Some are not. The bottom line goal, yes, is to bring production back here, because we lost our production under the Obama administration and they went overseas. It just cost less. But what car manufacturers are now in an interesting pickle that they put themselves in. They were big and supportive of electric vehicles. They take a loss on every single one. There is no profit at all from any brand, not even Tesla, who sells the carbon credits to the other brands. Nobody's making money on electric vehicles. So how do you make money? How do you turn on the lights? How do I pay people? Well, we increase the price of regular gasoline and hybrid cars. And I won't say the brand, but I recently got a vehicle that was I have 22 of this vehicle, and they've sent me a 24. And I'm looking it over, and I called the manufacturer, and I said, there's nothing different on this car. And they go, yes. I go, but you raised the price by $20,000. And they said, yes, we need to make profits somewhere. Mm. So that's what they did. That's why cars are so expensive.
Yes.
So how do you change that? How do you make it so car brands make money and reduce the price of vehicles? Very easy. Bring production back to the U.S. and take away this stupid electric vehicle mandate. Mm-hmm. Because if you're taking a loss, I'll break it down to something easy. You're a coffee shop, and I come in and say, you can't sell coffee. You can only sell tea. You go, but people come here for coffee. Well, you could sell a couple cups. But I want it to be mostly tea. But nobody buys tea. Sorry, that's the mandate. And that's exactly how where we are now. So the tariffs go into place at the same time as this undoing of the California Air Resources Board allows manufacturers to say, I'm going to build cars that you want, cars that consumers want, and I can make money at it so I can expand that. And you noticed yesterday, Ford said they're going to stop the advancement of this electric vehicle that they were going to try and beat Tesla at. And they said, we're going to shelve the whole project. And that's the start. And once this turns and California loses its power, you're going to watch a lot of brands start offering vehicles that you want. Gas, hybrid, diesel, whatever it may be. And electric. If you want electric, go buy it.
Go for it. Yeah, and it's you know, important to point out, 10% of the population in America lives in California. So it clearly has a significant share of the auto and trucking markets. And so I will say this. It seems to me, I'm not a car expert like you are an auto expert, Lauren Fix, but it seems like the hybrid is the way to go until they figure out all of the different technology. So why not just do that? If people want to save on the gas, you still have the gas, but obviously the vehicle is recharging the battery while the motor is running on gas. I mean, it seems like a no-brainer.
I have three hybrids in my driveway. I get a different car every week to review. I put all my car reviews on Car Smarts. I had to separate it from the news. The news lives on Car Coach Reports. Car Smarts is all the car reviews. So I have three vehicles in the driveway. I have a Ford Maverick, I have a Toyota Corolla Cross Hybrid, and a Mavericks Hybrid 2, and I have an Alfa Romeo Tonale Hybrid.
Nice.
All of them, as far as I'm concerned, are underpowered. They all run on a CVT transmission, makes them loud inside, and they drive me crazy because you can't shut off that start-stop technology. So if you're going to buy a hybrid, I highly recommend getting one, but lease it. Don't own it, because down the road, you've owned the car. It's outside the warranty. It's 5-6 years old. You know, if you're buying it used, it's different, but you're buying it new. Mm-hmm. The problem is once the warranty's out and you have a problem, you either are going to have a problem with the gas side, the electric side, or the combination of the two. And the cost of repairs, any mechanic will tell you, is absurd. And it costs more in some cases than the vehicle's worth. So lease the vehicle, great. Get a new one, that's fine, and move along to the next one. But just be forewarned, hybrids are fantastic for doing what they say. They're not performance-oriented unless you're buying like a BMW M5 and you're going to get like the hybridized 48-volt architecture. You're going to get great performance. Again, what happens when the warranty's out in 4 years? You might have a big bill coming your way.
So either lease it or trade it in before the 4 years is up or whatever.
Or whatever. Well, some warranties are 3 years. Hyundai, Kia, Genesis are 10 years, so you got a lot of time on that. But all of the hybrid batteries are good for 100,000 miles. That is a federal regulation. But I will tell you, and it's something that I've done an article on before, and I'd love to sit down with someone on the EPA or NHTSA and have a conversation with them, that the multiplier that tells you when you're buying a hybrid vehicle and it says MPGE, that is a total fraudulent number. They randomly chose a multiplier so that they could compare it to gasoline-powered cars. Instead of saying range, hey, it's good for this many miles on electric, it's a made-up number. It's a total scam on that number.
That's so annoying.
So don't follow that. You'll see a little 150 MPGE. I'm like, what? Of course, as a consumer, you look at it and go, this is sick. But you're being lied to.
Just wanted to get your reaction to this. You know, the White House Communication Office is always busy. They send us just a plethora of news, you know, press releases every single day throughout the day. But this morning, or this is actually from yesterday, May 1st, from last night, they're talking about the Trump effect, Mercedes-Benz, where it's moving, BMW, what it's considering, adding the shifts to boost production at its South Carolina plant. They talk about Honda, Hyundai, Kia, Nissan, Stellantis, Toyota, all these big announcements. I don't notice it in the so-called mainstream media headlines, Lauren, but for somebody like you, you study this, is this a small headline or are these big headlines to you?
It's a huge headline. And the biggest one was timing from Hyundai. And I actually talked to Jose Munoz, who was at the White House yesterday, on May 1st. He was also there the day after the tariffs, as President Trump calls Liberty Day. And in total, they're bringing $31 billion to the U.S. That is a steel plant in Louisiana that's expanding the Kentucky plant, expanding the Birmingham, Alabama plant, where Hyundai's are built, and Kia is built at West Point, Georgia. All of those are expansions in non-union states. And that's huge. That's going to be a lot of jobs. BMW already has their largest factory in the U.S., in South Carolina. They are the largest employer for the whole entire state, and they're boosting production. So even cars that you see in Germany are made here in the U.S. Volvo's doing the same that was not announced. Honda is bringing their Civic back from Mexico to Indiana. So you're going to start seeing a lot of that coming in, and it's going to impact Pennsylvania in a very positive way in that whole area, because it's not just the car, it's all the components, whether it be tires or electronics or seats or seat bases or brake lines and brake calipers and all the parts, exhaust systems, all of that has to be built somewhere. And much of it is built in Pennsylvania, which you would think someone who represents that area would love to have jobs in that area unless they have money coming from someone else to fund their election. So this is a huge Trump effect. The Mercedes plant expanding is big, too, because typically their driveline, which is engines and transmissions, come from Germany, but they can assemble them here. They can build them here.
Nice.
And if they do that, the tariff goes away, and they want to keep sales. So it looks like they're going to do the C-Class and the E-Class, which is their more popular vehicles. Audi's talking about moving to Chattanooga, bringing in their most popular vehicles, which would be the Q5. You probably won't see Porsche or Ferrari building here. It'll never happen in my book, but it's great because even Ford says we're bringing stuff back from Mexico and Canada. And this morning, before we got on air, I believe they're shutting down one of the GM plants in Oakville, Ontario, and bringing truck production back to the U.S.
Woo!
So that's awesome. A huge Trump effect. Yes,
this
good stuff.
Great news. All you hear, you know, you see the bad news, and I think it has an effect on people. They go, oh, man, look at this. It's terrible. Then we hear from somebody like you. I mean, this is your wheelhouse. You live and breathe this, Lauren. It's just hopeful. I mean, it's wonderful news, and it's, well, I'm glad, we're thankful for you, is my point.
Oh, well, thank you. No, I'm very happy to discuss this. I cover this on a regular basis on my channel. I put up content that people don't typically talk about. Mm-hmm. Today, I'm going to go into a deeper dive and explaining the House vote and the repealing of the car ban, because there's a lot of good extra stuff in here as far as trucks and lowering costs across the board. We also have the U.S. House considering an annual electric vehicle fee, which I find interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So after they take away the mandate, we're going to charge you if you want to buy one, because you got to cover for the taxes that we pay in our gas taxes for roads and bridges.
It's crazy.
I love it. I'm loving all of this. I love the Trump effect. It's been absolutely fabulous. We're going to see a lot of things going on besides, you know, when the White House summons auto executives to come in, we know there's a lot of good things coming and a lot of jobs. And you saw that in the reports this morning, and the stock market up as we speak now is up over 400 points.
Yeah, it's nice.
So good results.
Good end to the week. Well, we love the car conversation. CarCoachReports.com, and that'll lead you to the car smarts and the car reviews and the podcast, everything for Lauren Fix. Lauren, I'm so grateful to our mutual friend, Mike Opelka, who introduced us back in the day. And thank you so much. I hope we continue the conversation.
Anytime. Would love to chat with you about cars.
Thanks. Thanks, Lauren Fix. She's the best.
Dawn Stensland from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.